In this section, Peter Collins explains what the following cutbacks at the Bath Institution mean for prisoners. Cutbacks in computers and gaming systems. Now, another one of the cutbacks that I would like to speak about is in regards to the computers. And Warden Therese Gascon from the Bath Institution wrote on September 18, 2002, a letter to the Inmate Committee stating in part that the Bath Institution had been directed by the regional headquarters that effective immediately the purchase and repair of computers, peripherals, gaming systems, that is to say the PlayStation and Nintendo, software and games by offenders is no longer allowed. This moratorium was put in place by CSC National Headquarters. What were the reasons that Corrections Services of Canada stated for implementing this moratorium?
Well, again, they would rely on the catch-all security phrase to justify what they're doing. What's happened is we had a commissioner, I think, Ole Ingstrup. He came out with some innovative ideas about corrections, and it was resisted heavily by the frontline staff, but he forced them through anyway. So we ended up with computers, and the reason, not just given to us, if you could save up the money for a computer, you could buy one, you know, and it had to fit in certain security parameters, you know, you weren't allowed certain things. So it was a baseline computer that you could, I guess some guys could play games, but more importantly, you could do word processing things. You could, you know, educate yourself with this tool. So this went on for a while, but since the introduction of computers, you know, some guys come into prison with more knowledge about computers than staff, and some staff are, you know, lazy. And so what they do is they ask the prisoner to do their work for them on their computer, which is by definition illegal. We're not, like, as prisoners, we're not allowed to get onto any government computer that's on a LAN system, right? A local area network system. You're not allowed to get on that because that, you know, obviously for security reasons could be compromised by someone. But because they're so lazy, they would allow, you know, I don't want to characterize everybody as being lazy just because they work for corrections, but, you know, they're obviously, when they get a prisoner to do their work for them on a computer that it's illegal for him to be on, and then when the prisoner, you know, does something that he's not allowed to do on that computer, to turn around and blame us for, you know, as a collective for that action is, you know, wrong. But that's what they've done. That's what's happened in a couple of cases. The staff put prisoners on computers that were on a local area network, and, you know, the prisoners, for whatever reason and whatever they did, they did. So that's one of the reasons that they say that they want to get rid of the computers. I'm a bit more reluctant to buy into that's the reason, because I personally feel that the real reason is that too many people are mounting effective challenges against the CSC policies through the courts and through the grievance process, and they're using their computers to do that. You know, so when the CSC is breaking the law, it's a lot easier for a prisoner to write an effective letter than it is for him to try to scrawl it out. You know, when someone receives a typed letter, it's taken more seriously than you know, a chicken scratch letter where someone's not capable of writing well, you know, or their spelling's bad. And so that's why I think they're trying to get rid of the computers. That's, I really believe, is the real reason, not for any security reason, because any security reason that they cite doesn't hold water.
Now, you responded to this moratorium by writing Lucy McClung, the Commissioner of Corrections Services Canada,
yeah,
in Ottawa on September 19, 2002. You stated here, it would appear that CSC has three possible steps to take. Remove all computers, grandfather the equipment, actually implement the existing security features and leave the computers and deal with infractions as they would any other violation of the rules, law. You just mentioned here the reasons provided for such a decision have not been forthcoming. We are advised that there have been, quote, some security breaches, unquote, examples that prisoners have been given the A&D officers and other staff, or that some prisoner somewhere in a penitentiary had built a device to access the internet. We are advised that the device was manufactured from a Sony PlayStation 2. I don't understand how that could be, though. I thought
because they're lying, right? They're lying.
Because that's a game.
Yeah.
That has no internet access whatsoever with it.
Yeah.
When you wrote the commissioner, Lucy McLung, one of the reasons in your letter that you stated was that there was the charge that some prisoner in some penitentiary had built some kind of internet access with the PlayStation 2. In regards to the internet access, do you think this is actually plausible that this could happen? And if so, do you believe that there could be ways to implement security so that it wouldn't happen?
Yes. I've actually discussed this matter with a couple of computer experts, and they indicate to me that to get onto the internet, you need to have an account with some service provider. So that would be one of the problems that I see with that presented, the security rationale that the CSC present, as someone from a prison isn't going to have an account. So the second way, or one of the things that you need is a phone line. And while it's true I'm talking on a phone, this phone line is a security phone line that goes through, IPSO recording machines, and then leaves the institution on a Bell security line. Actually, this phone says Northern Telecom, but I think it's Bell. But there's a security system that goes through Bell, so you can't just hook into the internet on this phone system. The other way, as I understand, is that you go through the cable, television cable, to get to the internet. But to do that, you need some kind of special box from your cable provider, and you need an account again. So there's a lot of problems that come up surrounding the plausibility of their presentation that, prisoners could get onto the internet and overthrow the free world. It's, it just seems very unplausible. As for building a device to get onto the internet from a Sony PlayStation, I'm not an expert in electronics, but that seems highly unlikely that someone would be able to get onto the internet using a PlayStation device. So essentially, the way they say it, you would have to have one of those mobile telephones, which you're not allowed to have anyway. So it's not like you can buy a mobile telephone. How would you get a mobile telephone in a prison? And then if you were using that mobile telephone, you would again still have to have an account and a server. So there's problems with that, with their rationale there. And according to the computer guys that I talked to, that there's very simple mechanisms that could be put onto phone lines and are already currently available for the institutions to catch the potential misuse of any phone line or any, even if it's going through the airwaves so the cellular phones, even if you had one in a prison, they still have systems. If you can send a signal out of any device, you can also catch a signal. And it seems to me highly unlikely that the Correctional Services of Canada, which is an arm, a branch of the Justice Department, which also has CSIS, Canada's spy agency, that they don't have the technology to detect the use of a cell phone or detect the potential misuse of some kind of phone line to get out onto the internet, being that they obviously have the technology to intercept that if it were to happen. It doesn't seem like a plausible reason to take the computers away.
Do you and the other prisoners consider this moratorium a group punishment?
I don't think it's a group punishment, although it does punish everybody. And I really, honestly, do not believe that it has anything to do with anything except for that people are using it to effectively question the state. And that's why they've had second thoughts about allowing us this educational tool. Prisoners can't just walk into a prison officer's office, you know, a guard's office, and get on that guard's computer. This is a prison. They have locks on the doors. You know what I mean? Like, and if you breach the locks on the doors, there's security measures that will detect your presence. So the only way that a prisoner gets in and uses a guard's computer is when the guard asks them to come in and do the work for them.
You've already mentioned that it's the prisoners themselves or their family members or loved ones that pay for the computers. Who pays for the PlayStation and Nintendos?
Well, the prisoners, or, you know, if a family member wants to, they can send it in if you're within 30 days. Obviously not now because of the moratorium, but before, yeah. You could do it like that if you were within 30 days of your sentencing. If not, then you had to save up your money and pay for it yourself. Certainly, the government or the public purse didn't pay for those. And it seems it's such a shame to remove these, you know, one, the educational tool of the computer and the recreational aspect of these, what are they, video games? Especially in an institution where recreation hours are cut back, you know, you're not allowed out at night, you know, so, like, where's the harm in someone racing a pretend car around a virtual track on their television? You know, how does that harm anyone? You know, after they've worked all day doing their menial make-work job and come back, they're not allowed to go and recreate in the yard or to, you know, go to the gym. And some of the guys are just too old to go and play in the gym or, you know, play hockey or do weights or things like that. You know, the only thing they can do is walk. They're not allowed to do that, you know, after 9, obviously.